Hello, welcome to episode 8 of the Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programmers podcast. Once again, a bored man has got access to a microphone and is going to use it to be wrong on the internet. Now, I want to start with what is definitely a non-apology for being late with this episode. I've been doing episodes on a roughly weekly cadence, but dropped off for the last couple of weeks. Actually, last week I managed to not use a computer at all, apart from my phone, for about 8 days, which was a good and useful break in this time where we're permanently on video conferences and calls and everything. So I'm certainly not apologising for that. As one person famous in the world of computing said, it's better to be a pirate than to join a navy. And as we know, the pirates code be more guidelines than actual rules. So the idea that this is a weekly podcast is, I think, something that was probably never explicit and should not be inferred. So no apology for that. We're talking about Smalltalk again. I'm still carrying on with my implementation of Amiga Smalltalk. And I'm currently working through the implementation of message sending, which is an interesting part both of the Smalltalk environment itself and of the whole idea of object-oriented programming. Alan Kay famously said that he felt bad that people had sort of latched onto the wrong idea, that objects wasn't about classes and inheritance hierarchies so much as it should have been about messages, what he called the interstices between the objects. So many object-oriented programming environments borrowed in different ways the idea of message passing. Objective-C is literally an attempt to build the Smalltalk style message sending on top of the C programming language. Ruby is very Smalltalk-like in the way that it works. And even Java, people talk about sending messages, although the way that it's actually done and resolved and implemented in the runtime works in a very different way. Interestingly, the way that Smalltalk implements message sending is fairly limited, in terms of all of those other languages, and we could include object environments that don't use a similar idea of message sending to implement their polymorphism. I'm not going to talk in detail about Lisp-based object environments, but there is an excellent book by Kijales de Riviere and Bobro called The Art of the Meta-Object Protocol, which is all about object-oriented programming in Lisp. And I would definitely recommend investigating that book. I will put a link in the show notes. Smalltalk is very restricted in terms of its message capabilities in comparison with that and with other message passing environments that were created later. And in fact, the protocol for messages is split between the interpreter, so the virtual machine that's running the Smalltalk bytecode, and the image, so the data that represents the particular classes and methods you have on your Smalltalk system. Pointer in its memory, a reference to its class, and that every class has as its first object, its first reference in memory, a pointer to its superclass, and that the root object the root class has nil as its superclass pointer. The interpreter doesn't actually require that there's only one root class. Now, to my knowledge, Smalltalk systems all do have a single root class called object, but that's not necessary. As long as there is a sort of singly linked list from any class to its chain of super classes that terminates on nil, it doesn't actually matter how many root classes you have. But the Smalltalk programming language doesn't give you a way to create new root classes, so you would have to actually write your root classes into your image in order for that to work. If you wanted to create multiple root classes, you would just have to like provide them as data. Now, there was a multiple inheritance Smalltalk. I've never seen it, I've never used it, but there is a reference to multiple inheritance in the Red Book, one of the three books that came out of Xerox and out of the Park team describing the Smalltalk 80 environment. So that must have needed a different interpreter, which probably means that its images were incompatible with images built for the sort of Smalltalk 80 that we've come to expect now. The interpreter also defines a particular structure that a message takes, because the interpreter introduces the protocol that if you send a message to an object and the object's class doesn't have an implementation for that message, then it looks in the superclass and it traverses all the way up the chain. And if none of the superclasses implement that method, then it starts again looking for the selector does not understand, which is what gets sent when you don't implement the message that was selected. The interpreter writes the argument for the does not understand selector as a message object, and so the interpreter defines what data is received by the does not understand message, even though it itself does not implement the does not understand message. It requires that the root classes implement it, and the interpreter will fail with an error if there is a root class that does not return the does not understand message when that's the selector it receives. So we can look at a Smalltalk 80 interpreter and we can say something about the behavior of absolutely any Smalltalk 80 implementation when it encounters an unrecognized selector. When you ask an object to respond to a message that it doesn't have an implementation for. The message is a very simple structure. It has two fields. The first one is the selector, so that the object can see what you asked it to do that it was incapable of. And it has an array, which is the collection of all of the arguments that were sent to that first message. Now that itself is more expressive than Java, which doesn't let you do this at all. One of the frustrations I have with Java when I'm using its reflection API is that I can create implementations of things like interfaces, and I can create things like subclasses of other classes, and I can look up methods on those interfaces and classes and construct messages and invoke them, so I can call existing methods, but I can't define at runtime methods that weren't known when the thing was compiled. You have to be able to provide Java bytecode that implements the message with the signature that it has in, you know, in the IDE or in the source code. So basically, Java doesn't have this level of indirection at all. You can implement a named message, a named method, and you can choose at runtime a valid implementation of that method through a bunch of mechanisms, through polymorphism or through reflection. but you can't receive a message that you don't have an implementation for. You can't like invent signatures and selectors at runtime and be able to handle them in a sort of generic way. The Objective-C version of what is basically Smalltalk message sending has an object called NSInvocation, which is actually, let's say it's part of the Foundation library. These things tend to move about a bit. I think at some points it's been defined in Core Foundation, at some points it's been defined in Foundation. Let's pretend it's Foundation, because in Objective-C, what you get to supply is to the runtime is not the does not understand method implementation. You get to supply the function that it executes, C function that the runtime executes when an unknown message is encountered. And the next step implementation of that function was to call the receiver with the does not understand message, and the implementation in Foundation is the thing that goes through all of the various forwarding mechanisms that we know. So the forwarding target for selector message, the forward invocation message, which relies on also implementing method signature for selector, and the final does not recognize selector message. And there may be other bits of it that you know are new since I last looked at the Objective-C runtime, or that I've forgotten in that description. But all of this is done by a C function that you set up at runtime to be the sort of unknown message handler in the Objective-C runtime. So Foundation uses the NS invocation, which has the message selector and the arguments from the message, and it also has a pointer to the receiver, which means you can change that and send the same message to different objects, and it also has a pointer to the return value, which effectively means that you can keep a message and then having invoked it, ask what value is returned, rather than receiving that as the result of invoking the message. So the Foundation version is a sort of more flexible way to effectively store a method invocation. But there's still other metadata you could consider adding to a message, to this representation in the object system of the gap between two objects. So we could, as well as storing the receiver, store the sender. And what would that give us? It means that when an object encounters a message that it doesn't understand, it can ask the object that sent it that message what to do, which is reasonable from a sort of a conversational protocol sense. If if you imagine like going to having a conversation with someone in a fairly sort of restricted circumstance where they're expecting to fulfill a particular role. So let's say that you're talking to someone who is a software engineer in your company, and you go up to them, and they're probably willing to accept some small talk, pardon the pun, or some requests about like the status of their software project, or whether you could whether you want them to try out a new thing, or prioritize a different story or something like that. Imagine that you go up to that person and you say, could you wash my car, please? They may well think that it's a bit odd, and the fact that they think it is a bit odd and maybe question you about it, ask why you expect them to wash your car, who else you've tried, whether you might want to try someone else, is a natural part of the conversational protocol. And so it makes sense in our object-oriented systems for those messages, which are conversations between different actors with their own behaviour. It makes sense for like that to be a two-way conversation. So you could imagine that in development, the result of sending a message you don't know is the behaviour that it is in Smalltalk 80, that you cause the debugger to be triggered and execution to stop at the point where the unknown message was sent. But in a web application, the same receiver, so the same piece of like application logic, could need to log an error and then finish the interaction. So just send an error response to the client. And in a graphical application, you might want to display a message. But none of those three things depend on the the receiver itself. They're all contextual. So it makes sense for them to be part of the outside, part of the protocol that's defined by the sender of the message, not by the receiver of the message. And obviously we have ways of dealing with that, but we've had to sort of invent those as workarounds for the fact that we don't know who our senders are. You know, if you think about dependency injection, it's all about saying, put this thing in to this other object from the outside so that it doesn't need to talk to the outside, because talking to the outside is a problematic thing in our object-oriented systems as they stand. If we had an object-oriented system in which talking to the outside was part of the protocol and wasn't something that you had to like engineer in specifically to your particular workflows, then we wouldn't need dependency injection. It would make sense from a design perspective to say, okay, I will do this for you, but you need to now do this thing for me. So that's my thoughts for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I've decided to give you an easier version of my email address for feedback, because the fact that I spend so long spelling my email address tells me that it's probably not a very good email address to read out over the in the podcast. So if you want to send me any feedback, you can send me an email at grahamlee@acm.org. Thank you very much. Take care and speak to you again soon.